Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Monson, your host and social media consigliere. Today's guest is Jody Krangle, and today's episode is brought to you by iPost, Answer Connect, and the newest sponsor in the Social Geek family, Scorpion. It seems like digital marketing channels pop up every day with social media, Google search, video, apps, email, mobile, and more. Your franchisees are spending more time and money juggling more vendors than ever before, all while trying to make sense of an endless stream of data that's dumped into spreadsheets that only Neo from the Matrix could understand. Scorpion is a digital marketing company that helps franchise brands and their franchisees get out of the weeds of digital marketing. With a combination of technology and expertise, Scorpion connects all the marketing dots to provide clear, personalized plans that are measured against one thing that your franchisees care about the most: revenue growth. Finally, a cohesive brand-approved strategy for all your franchisees that eliminates the time-consuming, expense, and confusing task of managing an ever-expanding list of disconnected marketing platforms and vendors. I think we can all appreciate fewer invoices and meetings and better results. To learn more, visit scorpion.co/geek. That's scorpion.co/geek. Jody Krangle is a voiceover actor and host of one of my favorite podcasts, the Audio Branding Podcast. Jody, how are you?
I am great. Just fiddling with my mute button.
Okay.
I'm good though.
I think that's the audio soundbite of 2020 and 2021.
Totally.
Jody,
is,
are you
yes.
on mute? Where are you? So
you're muted. So,
yes. It looks like you're talking. We can't hear you. So Jody, before we get into audio branding, which is something that I feel like I've been doing for a half a century, but I just realized what it was about 6 weeks ago. Before we get into that, I want to find out a little bit more about your background. What's your story?
Oh, it's probably too long for this podcast.
Oh, that's okay. We have plenty of time.
Well, I started as a singer and have been singing all my life and wrote songs, and then had a songwriting resource website on the internet in 1995. So that got me down the road of SEO and internet marketing. And I did that up until about 2007. And then in 2007, I got really, really bored because Google was the only game in town. And I decided that it was time to do something else. And since I was already self-employed, I just fixed my focus onto voiceovers and went for it. And now have a very happy and healthy career.
Nice. So what kinds of voiceovers are you doing now? Is it a lot of corporate work? Is it television commercials? Is it radio commercials? Is it, videos that we find on corporate websites? What's sort of your specialty?
Well, most of what I do is commercial and corporate narration. So I like making other people money. and I think I'm actually pretty good at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So
my voice is part of a company's audio brand. And so I kind of got interested in that whole spectrum of what that involves. And that's how everything else came about. But as far as what I really love doing, the corporate anthems that you see on big company websites, you know, the whole we're proud, this is who we are and we're proud, you know,
right.
Those kinds of videos, right?
The mission statement.
Yeah, the mission statement, the anthem videos. Yeah, I love those. Those are, I love doing them, and I'll do them all day.
Nice. Let's get into audio branding a little bit, because like I said, this is something that it feels like it's been here my entire life, but no one really talked about it until pretty recently. And, you know, where I found you on Clubhouse, which we're going to talk about a little bit more.
Sure. Yeah.
I was just amazed at the number of people in this community of voiceover actors and podcasters mm-hmm. and marketing agency people who are all talking about audio branding. And, you know, I saw this and I'm like, oh my God, I'm home. These are my people.
Yeah.
How long has audio branding actually been a consideration for most marketers?
Oh my goodness. I think that it actually has been around for quite some time. I don't know that we actually called it audio branding.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the International Sound Awards started, I think, in 2009. And that was, 2009, I believe. And that was put on by the Audio Branding Academy. And that was started in Germany. So European had a little bit of a leg up, although it might just be that there wasn't anything organized in North America just yet.
Yeah.
But I think it was a thing even before that. It's just that it didn't really become an organized thing until probably around 2009 to 2011. There's also a book called Audio Branding out there. And I have forgotten the fellow's name who wrote it, but Minsky, I think, is the last name. Lawrence Minsky, yes.
Okay, Lawrence Minsky. Okay.
Lawrence Minsky. Yeah,
and how long ago did he write this book?
The first edition of the book was actually in, well, they say 2017, but I think it was before that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's an excellent book and does a lot of deep dive into the whole history of the audio branding genre, I guess. I don't know what else you'd call it. Industry?
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
It started back in the 20s when you had jingles touting Wheaties. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to tell you, I think there's a good argument for it starting with the golden age of radio. I started mm-hmm. a year or so ago. I really started getting into listening to some old time radio shows.
Yeah, yeah.
The Shadow, right? And mm-hmm. Jack Benny program is probably the best example of a great radio show. If anybody's never listened to Jack Benny, it's literally Seinfeld on the radio, not yeah. on television, right?
Yeah.
It's a show about nothing. Yeah. A guy and, you know, the weird people surrounding this guy. And the audio cues that you hear on these shows, it really made sense for the time, because whether it was, you know, the NBC tones at the beginning mm-hmm. and end of a show, or the jingle for Jell-O or whoever the sponsor
yeah,
of the
yeah.
show was at the time, they had nothing to look at, right? There were no logos, there were no colors, there was no visual. So it was all audio branding.
Sure.
And I listen to those shows now and it's like, there's really some brilliant things happening there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And because it's an entirely audio medium, you have to build in theater of the mind. So I think that what's happening is right now people are starting to understand that we're going back there.
Yeah.
Because when you look at what's happening around us, voice activated software and Alexa and Google Home and all of that are audio only. And once your brand is suddenly audio only, what do you have left? So you really have to plan for that.
Yeah.
If you want to differentiate yourself as a brand, audio only, you need a sound. And so it's becoming way more important. And I think people are starting to understand that actually it's becoming essential.
I think the person who did not invent any of this and did not come up with any of this, but he's the one who introduced me to some of these concepts, is Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh,
I
yeah.
saw mm-hmm. him about 2 years ago mm-hmm. and he spoke at an industry conference I was at, and he had just rolled out his audio logo for mm-hmm. Gary V, whatever he's calling you know, one of his 10 companies these days, VaynerX or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And it's this kind of swooshy sound that you hear at the beginning of all of his podcasts and things mm-hmm. like that. And again, he didn't invent it, but I think he was smart enough to realize that a large percentage of his audience is not sitting in front of a laptop looking at him while he's talking, right?
Yeah.
They're working out. They have their AirPods in. They're on the treadmill, or they're on a train, or they're driving in their car listening to a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where a lot of brands need to sort of refocus their, and you and I spoke about this a few weeks ago, refocus their budget and put a little bit more money into the audio side of things, because there's so much being spent on television commercials and visuals and logos that no one ever sees because they're not looking.
Yeah, less on television these days than ever before.
Yeah.
Because the television is no longer something that everyone is watching all the time. They're online. They're, you know, they're streaming radio or streaming podcasts or, you know, listening to music, or because everyone's attention is so split in multiple different ways. And audio lends itself to you being able to do other things at the same time. Video does not, like you were pointing out before. So I think television is going to, you know, just regular television is going to go the way of the dinosaurs, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that wave, I think, is coming to an end because we're all on Netflix.
Right. And after Netflix, there will be something else. And
exactly,
in the meantime, we have podcasts. And that kind of brings us to where we are today. Yeah. So let's talk about some corporate brands and maybe some advertisers. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody that you really see doing this audio branding really, really well? And it could be a soft drink company or a beer company or a bank or insurance or whomever. Anybody come to mind that is really doing audio branding well?
Well, I think that a lot of companies that are doing it well started doing it 30 years ago.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's what the whole point of all of this is. Audio branding actually takes some time to, you know, quote, take. Because you have to use it consistently and persistently, and it has to become a part of the collective psyche for it to really be effective. So the people who are really reaping those benefits right now are people like McDonald's and Intel. You know, these people who were using these sonic logos and little bits of songs and stuff like that in all of their commercials for the last 30 years.
Yeah.
And they're reaping those benefits now because as all of the media that we're consuming is starting to go audio only, they are uniquely situated to be totally recognizable and totally memorable. So, you know, my thought to people is, if you are not in audio branding now, now is when you need to start, because you'll reap the benefits of that 30 years from now.
Yeah. What's the old saying? The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and
yes,
the second
exactly.
best time is today, right?
And I'm not saying you can't get any benefits from it right now, but I am saying that you will truly recognize the power of sound when you are still recognizable as a brand 20 or 30 years from now because of that.
Do you think there's some sort of retro interest in audio branding, in that some of these sounds bring you back to where you were 20 years ago or 30 years ago, or, you know, and I think McDonald's is probably a great example of that. The whole I'm loving it thing. I'm mm-hmm. wondering how many people that takes them back to 1990 or, you know, whenever that sound actually first came out.
It was originally a Justin Timberlake song, I think,
wow.
actually. They did it with him. And then they stopped using everything except for the chorus and then paid someone else to sing it because they didn't want to pay Justin Timberlake's rate.
Justin got a little bit expensive for them around 92, the 93, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, they do own it, right? So now what they're doing, like that da-da-da-da-da, like that part is actually like a really small part of the actual chorus. And so what they've done is they've whittled it down through the years, and it's still totally recognizable. And that's, I think, how a Sonic logo is kind of, I mean, it can be born in a whole bunch of different ways, but that is a really good way for it to be born, because it starts as a song that is part of your DNA, and then it contracts to become more easily consumed.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't need to hear the whole song.
Yeah,
you just need to hear that hook a couple of times.
Yeah, you just need to remember that hook, exactly.
Yeah, a little bit of an earworm and you're good to go.
Yeah.
If you have a brand right now that has not really thought about sonic branding, audio branding, and they want to get involved, they suddenly see the value of everything from podcasting to voice-activated intelligent machines, where would you suggest someone starts? Do they need to get their branding done first, or do they need to hire a composer, or like where would you recommend somebody jump in right now?
Well, my first thought is your brand, your company has a reason for being. So remember what that reason for being is. Write down your why. And this sounds really cheesy, I guess, because Simon Sinek has said this like I don't know how many millions of times. But it really does come right down to that. What is your why? And what emotions do you want to evoke in people when they experience your company and your brand? Because it is all about emotions. And we buy based on emotions. We don't buy logically. We don't. We buy based on an emotion and then explain it to ourselves logically. So if you really are trying to appeal to someone's emotions, what colors, what fonts, what music, what sound, what voiceover evokes all of those emotions? And they need to match.
Back in a moment after this word from iPost. iPost puts the power of email marketing in the hands of the franchise marketer through multi-tiered accounts that eliminate fragmentation and enable franchisees to own and control all data and content. iPost gives your brand one place to support all locations' email marketing and one place to train and onboard new franchisees. Find out more at iPost.com. Let's talk a little bit about where some social media platforms are going next. I think we've seen a few years of things like Facebook and Instagram that have gotten away from sound and audio, right? You know, 75% of Facebook videos have no sound, and it's, you know, no one's listening to these videos anymore. They're just, you know, looking at the closed captioning or the text of the video.
Yeah.
But it feels like sometime over the past year, we took a huge shift in the other direction. And we see new platforms coming out that are all about sound and audio. And let's talk about the first one that comes to mind, where you and I met, was on Clubhouse.
Yeah. I think that there is something really truly unique and powerful and intimate about hearing someone's voice. And it's easy to type stuff, and we've taught ourselves how to do that, you know, like we as human beings have taught ourselves to adapt to the computers we use.
but when it comes right down to it,
You've probably seen this fellow in some of the rooms that we've had. His name is Dr. Terry Fisher.
Yes.
He's a fellow in BC, and he says voice is his AI. And that's like, or sorry, his operating system, his OS,
wow.
Pardon me. Voice is his OS. I don't know why I got that wrong. Okay, so the point being that as human beings, we operate using our voice. And up until this point, the computers, we have been adapting ourselves to use the tools that we made with computers. Now the computers are starting to adapt to us. So we are operating them based on voice alone, which is really, as he says, our original operating system. Mm. And so when you are in a room in a social media location and you're using your voice, it's a really powerful connection with the people that you're talking with because it's you. It's actually you. It's not words on a screen. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like looking into someone's eyes, you know, it's
right.
It's probably as close as you're going to get without your video camera being on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're all just a little bit fatigued of the video cameras and the Zoom calls and,
exactly.
and all the other video conferencing that has been thrust upon us over the past year's pandemic. Do you think that has been sort of a motivating factor in some of these things like Clubhouse really jumping forward, just people being tired of being on video all day?
It could be, yeah. But I think also that the human voice comforts us. I think it's something that's integral to our being and our well-being as well. So the idea that you could become happier and more social by only hearing voices and talking to people, actually having a conversation. I mean, I think it's brilliant. I think the whole social media thing of Clubhouse is brilliant. And, you know, whether we end up on Clubhouse or 15 other different similar, you know, social media platforms that do the right. same thing, you know, right. I have right. no idea.
What's Facebook going to call theirs when they when they fail to buy Clubhouse or Stereo or Lucid or any of these other ones that are out mm-hmm. there? When they don't make that deal and they just decide to create their own, what's that going to be called?
And I don't know. Voicebook?
Voicebook. Earbook, I think. We'll
earbook. Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny what you and Dr. Fisher were saying about, you know, voice being sort of the original operating system. I never thought of this until just now. Mm-hmm. But think about this. Pre-birth, you hear your mother's voice long before you see anything.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a good point.
And maybe hopefully some classical music during that time period too. And I also think about, I've been thinking a lot about traditional radio again. I've been kind of getting, you know, a little nostalgic for old school radio lately. And I remember something, put all politics aside, I remember something Rush Limbaugh said many years ago when, I don't know if it was one of the cable news networks or somebody, you know, wanted him to keep doing TV shows. And he said, no, I do radio because I can speak directly into someone's head.
Yeah.
And I've heard on the other end of the spectrum, I've heard Howard Stern say much this, to the same point is that with television, it's a big production. It's lights and makeup and cameras and scripted stuff. When Stern is on radio, he's talking right into a microphone that goes right into your ear, right into your head. And I think he feels much more influential than just being another guy on, you know, some cable show, right?
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And podcasting is the same way.
I think so too. What, totally off script here. tell me about your podcast listening habits. And then I want to talk about your podcast, but what do you like to listen to? Do you listen to business podcasts or do you get into like some of the drama stuff or what do you like to listen to these days?
Actually, there is a very short podcast that I listen to on a regular basis, and it's called Total Life Freedom.
Total Life Freedom. Oh, tell me about it.
It's done by a guy named Vincent Puglisi, and he just talks for 5 to 8 minutes every day. He has he just puts it out every morning, and it's kind of life lessons of how to have a life that you're really happy with. And I really just appreciate all the stuff that he has to say. I was actually a member of his mastermind group for a couple of years. And even though I've left the mastermind group, I still enjoy listening to that podcast because it's just, you know, I just find it a nice little breath of fresh air in my morning. I have it with my coffee. Other than that, I do listen to interview shows sometimes with people that I'm interested in. Sometimes that's in the voiceover world or the acting world or, you know, particular people that I just want to know more about. David Tennant has a really fun podcast and he interviews some really interesting people. And he's such a sociable, fun guy that listening to him have these conversations is part of the fun.
Right, right.
So that's one. And every once in a while, I'll listen to a geeky show about the latest program, you know, like WandaVision or, you know, some yeah, you know, movie that just came out or something like that. But really, I don't have anything that I listen to on a regular basis. Not something that, you know, every day I have to make sure. Well, other than Vincent's podcast, which doesn't take more than 5 or 8 minutes out of my day. So that's fine. But yeah, I will listen. I just have to be very conservative with my time because I'm pretty busy.
and it, just like we were talking about with Clubhouse, it can turn into the biggest time suck.
Oh yeah,
on
totally.
The internet, right? You can just get lost in something there.
Yes,
I like listening to some comedy podcasts.
Okay,
I love a couple of times a week Gilbert Gottfried and Frank Padre.
Yes,
they just tell funny old stories of old Hollywood and just crazy stuff that. That most people can't get away with talking about in public. And, but I do find that, business oriented podcasts, especially things in the marketing field that I'm interested in, that has kind of replaced my need to read a lot of books.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
And
yeah.
I can, because again, it comes down to I can listen to podcasts while I'm doing six other things. I can't read a book while I'm doing six other things. So,
this is true, yeah.
So that's kind of replaced it there. The one phenomenon in podcasting right now that I just have not gotten into and I can't understand, and maybe you can explain it to me, is the serial killer podcasts, which there are like thousands of them
debuting
every day, all of the true crime stuff. Yeah. Is this anything you've gotten into? And because I could totally hear you narrating one of these. First of all,
I would totally narrate one of those. And I do like the genre, but I tend to watch it on Netflix as opposed to listening to it on podcasts.
Got it.
You know, so for me, I need the whole picture. For that kind of a thing, I need to see it as well. And I'm not saying, you know, I need to see the gore.
You need to see the blood and gore. We're learning a lot more about you
too. Right, yeah. But I need to see the evidence. You know what I mean? Like this is all true crime. I mean, unless it's made up entirely, which some of them are audio dramas.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know, true crime as a genre is supposed to talk about real, well, I mean, I don't know because I don't do these, so I can't say it's supposed to, but but as I understood it, it is generally to actually let you know about a crime that happened and maybe how that was solved and sort of like take you on a storytelling journey through, you know, how the crime happened and then how the person was put behind bars.
Yeah. And you think that's the thing. It's the storytelling journey. And because there's no better story than, you know, the perfect crime or maybe the imperfect crime.
Well,
one more I'll mention that I really love lately. And I don't think this would ever happen on a TV show or a YouTube video or anything else, but there's one called Digging Deep with Robert Plant. The singer.
Okay.
And he once a week just tells a story of a song. and it could be something he wrote in 1969 or Jimmy Page wrote in 1972 or something he wrote in the 80s or 90s. And he just talks about the origin of writing this song and where it came from and what was the idea behind it. And again, I could, he's one of those guys I could just listen to for like 3 hours. Right.
Wow.
And,
what a cool idea for a podcast.
Oh, it's a great idea. Yeah. And like I said, it would not make a great TV show because it's literally him sitting around, you know, with a few people, just kind of, you kind of picture him sitting in some pub somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. Just telling the story of, you know, Burning Down the Outside or Big Log or Stairway to Heaven or whatever.
That's perfect though.
And yeah, it's perfect for a podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, get a little music in the background and I'm guessing it's making album sales skyrocket just that. But those are great uses of audio, of podcasts, and things like that. Let's talk a little bit about your podcast before we go.
Sure.
This is the Audio Branding Podcast. How long have you been doing it? And what sort of, to steal a line from Simon Sinek, what's your why with this podcast?
I started it in November 2019. And I started it because I had been seeing a lot of people around me start podcasts and I was intrigued. And as a voice actor, I have all the equipment. that was never an issue. So that's all here. So I had the background, but what I wanted to do was explore the wider world of sound because I'm one tiny little part of that whole spectrum of audio branding, and it involves a lot of other things than just me. It involves, you know, the sound design, it involves picking music, it involves picking other voice talent, it involves, you know, all the different touch points that you could use audio for, your on hold, your in-store, your website, you know, Alexa, Google Home, you know, like, transaction sounds. There's a whole bunch of different things that go into this, and it all needs to be cohesive. And as one small little piece of that puzzle, I was intrigued as to what the rest of it really meant and where the rest of it was. You know, what were people doing? And so I've talked to all sorts of different people about this, and it sort of has gone into a bit of a wider definition, in the sense that the club that I started on Clubhouse is called The Power of Sound. And really, that's what I'm exploring. So audio branding was where it kind of started, because it started in the marketing area of things. Mm-hmm. But I do explore wider than that. So I've started talking to storytellers and sound healers and people who are in ASMR and tone therapy and binaural beats, and also talking to advertisers and marketers who are using this in a very conscious manner and trying to increase the amount of attention and recall that they can get for their clients. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
And audio really helps with that.
Yeah,
but there's that goes into this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I came for the advertising stuff and I stayed for the binaural beats and the ASMR stuff. I mean, it's just some of the people you've spoken with on your show are just fascinating when it comes to what they're doing with sound, you know, far beyond music and voiceovers. So,
sure. And there's only more coming. I mean, I just finished editing. Well, my editor finished editing and then running by me an episode that's going to be with an audiologist who works with kids who are either without hearing or are hearing impaired.
Oh,
and what their parents have to go through, what their parents are needing to do for their children to make sure that they can get through in the world. And also like what we can do to prevent our own hearing loss. There's a lot that goes into this.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of processing from between when you hear it to what goes to your brain as well. So if any little part of that goes awry, there's something wrong. And it could be any of those things. It could be anything in your ear. It could be any of the impulses that go from what you're hearing in the vibrations to your brain. Like so many different things that can go wrong that it's a miracle we can hear it all.
Very good. Well, we will look forward to that episode coming up soon. And if anyone would like to check out your podcast or learn anything else about you, where can we send folks?
Well, my voiceover website is at voiceoversandvocals.com, and the podcast is at audiobrandingpodcast.com. And if you look for me on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, I'm under Jody Krangle.
Excellent. And we will not see you, but hear you soon on Clubhouse.
Yes. Yeah. I, along with yourself, have been hosting a regular weekly chat called Audio Branding, The Power of Sound. And we do that at Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. And I also have a club now on Clubhouse called The Power of Sound. And people are welcome to join in and create rooms that are about sound and in any really capacity. So music, advertising, podcasting, voiceover, you know, anything that you think would fit.
Excellent. We will talk to you there soon, Jody. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Before we go, a quick word from Answer Connect. Today, human contact is more important than ever. Make sure a live, professional person answers the phone every time. Answer Connect makes this happen for franchises every day with a team of professional customer service experts ready to impress your callers around the clock. Answer Connect works with many different franchises and small businesses who need 24/7, 365-day-a-year phone coverage, lead intake, appointments scheduled, or basic messages. They integrate with many of today's CRMs, which is just one more thing off your plate and one more opportunity for you to work on your business. Call Answer Connect at 800-584-0234. That's 800-584-0234, or visit answerconnect.com/franchise. And thanks for listening to Social Geek. We're here to help you get yourself ready for the comeback of a lifetime. This is the Social Geek Radio.